Good morning and welcome to the East Tennessee Report, a public affairs program of the Journal Broadcast Group. My name is Frank Murphy. This morning, we welcome Mark Nagy of TDOT, formerly Mark Nagy of Channel 6. We remember your face from so many sports reports, and now you're the face of the Tennessee Department of Transportation here in East Tennessee. Welcome, Mark.
Frank, it's great to be here.
That's a pretty sweet gig. Several news reporters before you have had that.
Oh, yeah, well, Travis Bricky had the job for a few years before me. Now he's at TVA. And then he was replaced by Yvette Martinez, who worked at WAT and WBIR in this market, and she left in January of 2011.
When Haslam became governor, because she went to go work for him.
Yeah, she went to go work for the governor, and then now she works for Veterans Affairs. And I learned about the job, I applied, and was fortunate enough to get it, and I'm really enjoying it.
Terrific, because it's good hours compared to working the 11 o'clock newscast or the midnight newscast after a sporting event.
Yeah, well, you know, it was I was a sportscaster for 15 years and for 10 years at Channel 6, and I wanted to be a sportscaster since I was 7 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, Miracle on Ice, 1980, Lake Placid, New York, U.S. beats Soviet Union.
You grew
Union.
Up around that area.
I did. I grew up in Albany, New York. It was only a couple hours from me. And I remember watching that game and thinking how cool it would be to be paid to go to all these cool sporting events. And that's one thing. Everybody who became a sportscaster, the basics are that you want to go to the games. Mm-hmm. That's what it always was. And, for years, I really enjoyed the job. And then I just got to a point where, you know, working nights and weekends all the time, working 46 weekends a year and having to ask for, a day off 7 months in advance. It just really got difficult
because of your family. You have other priorities.
We've got I'm married to beautiful wife Jennifer, and we have two great kids, Lillian and Emily, and they're both really little. And I know that growing up, Lillian now is in first grade, and she'd be coming home at like 2:15, 2:30. And that's when I would be going to work. Exactly. And I wouldn't even have had the weekends to catch up. So I found something with a structure that I never knew. I never had a 9-to-5 kind of job. I go into work at 8 o'clock and I'm home by 5:30. And if something happens that I need to talk about, I'll obviously do that.
Sure.
Because things pop up from time to time, certainly with the Department of Transportation.
And that is the thing about TDOT is obviously with people driving 24 hours a day, incidents can happen 24 hours a day.
Yep.
And you're prepared to respond to those, but also the regular 9-to-5 stuff when we're talking about road construction or whatever else comes up with some of the new developments you've got at TDOT that we'll be talking about today.
Yeah. I mean, there's always something, and I'll get a call at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, or I'll get a call at 11 o'clock at night on a Tuesday.
Sure.
And that's part of the gig. And I never have had a problem with that. The nice thing, of course.
You're used to having it worse.
Right.
What you're like, can we call Mark Nagy? It's like 11 p.m. Of course you can.
Well, the nice thing, of course, is that, you can have a phone and you can put it on vibrate so you won't wake up the entire house.
Yeah.
And it's a nice job, though. I work with some great people. The people at TDOT are just terrific, hardworking people. Mm-hmm. And I feel very blessed to have this opportunity.
Yeah, I guess last year you gave me a tour of the TDOT facility over there at Strawberry Plains, and it's pretty nifty with all the you imagine when you see these TDOT cameras on the internet or on TV, local TV stations. Well, sure enough, there's a room where they've got all the monitors up there, and you get to see the entire interstate in our Knox County area. Mm-hmm. How wide-reaching are those TDOT cameras for your region?
They're fairly wide-reaching, and they're actually in the process of expanding them as well. So there will be cameras in the Tri-Cities area. There's already cameras that we're able to see on Rockwood Mountain.
And you use those for what reason?
Okay, those cameras are used for us to monitor the interstates. And so because of that, we're able to see if there are traffic backups, if there are accidents. With our help truck service, which are those yellow trucks that you see driving around on the interstate, those are there to assist stranded motorists, get a car off the road, help fix a flat tire, give a gallon of gas if somebody's run out.
Right, especially if they're blocking traffic.
Certainly.
You get them off the way, out of the way. That's helping everybody.
Yeah, and those folks, they work 24 hours a day. And that our transportation management center, which is the big room with all the screens, they're able to look all across the region and see if there are any trouble spots. So, if there is an accident, we'll get a truck out there as quickly as we can, get that car off to the shoulder and get traffic moving as efficiently as possible.
So that's one factor that we think about TDOT, where you've got the information. Your control center can then send out a bulletin on the boards that go across the highway that says, hey, you know, travel time is normal, or hey, there's an incident up ahead. They've got another way of communicating that. But let's focus on the those boards for just a moment. The message boards certainly have gotten my attention a lot lately, as I've seen that horrific number just increase every time. You know, I don't drive the interstate every day. I'm fortunate that I don't have a have to take it every day. So I'm on there, you know, once, twice a week maybe, and I see that number seems to me, from my perspective, jump the highway deaths. Let's talk about how you guys are using those bulletins to to help try to inspire us to drive more safely.
Yeah. Well, the overhead message boards that you see on the interstate, and you know, there's a bunch of them, you know, and especially in the Knoxville area. You know, what we did starting last spring, as TDOT Commissioner Josh Rohrer had seen a sharp increase, and we had seen a sharp increase in traffic fatalities.
Not just interstate, but just any road throughout the state?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And those traffic fatality numbers are for any, you know, traffic-related death all across state.
Because the ones that have made the news lately are more in the non-interstates, like Chapman Highway. You always hear about terrible accidents on Chapman Highway, for example.
Yeah, well, I mean, when there's a if there's a fatality, that number from the Department of Safety is what number it is, and just, you know, what happens on interstates and state routes, that is on city streets, county roads, is where that number comes from. And last spring, we had seen a sharp increase in that after years of, for the most part, that number decreasing. So TDOT Commissioner John Schroer thought it would be a good idea to put the traffic fatality counts on those message boards. And for the last six, seven, 8 months of 2012, you saw that number up there a lot.
Oh, absolutely, because I thought that there's no way we're going to beat the 2011 total, which was 930-something.
Yeah, it was in the 930s.
And we broke 1,000 in 2012.
Yeah, and the idea behind getting that message across is we're trying to create awareness, is to let people understand that, look, you may just think of this as your daily drive, but, you know, remember, this is a heavy vehicle going at a significant speed. You know, this is why, you know, you have speed limits set up on these roads. I mean, you know, studies are done to see what these roads can take, what people should be driving. You know, if the speed limit is 55, you know, a lot of people will say, okay, well, I'll just go 60, 65. It's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal. You know, if the speed limit is 70, ah, well, 70, I'll just go 80. No, it is a big deal. And, you know, by hopefully by creating awareness, we let people realize that, you know, it can be a dangerous thing to just, you're just going to going to the mall, you're going to work, you're going to pick up the kids. You know, every time you get in the vehicle, you have to be aware not only of what you're doing, but be aware of what everyone else is doing. You know, I mean, you know, make sure that you have, you know, enough braking room, because it's not always able to see if the, especially if the, you know, depending on the position of the sun, if there's fog, any of those type things. I mean, it's there are so many, and also along with that too, there's so many simple things that drivers can do to make themselves safe as possible. Make sure your car is properly tuned. Never text and drive. Never drink and drive. And always wear your seatbelt. I mean, there's a, you know, there are many, you know, highway fatalities and state route fatalities and city roads, county roads that could have been prevented if people just wore their seatbelt.
Really? So they were involved in an accident that they would have survived?
Yes.
But the seatbelt?
Yeah, but the seatbelt could have saved the lives they didn't wear it. No. And that happens, and that's been happening for decades.
We're talking with Mark Nagy. He's the spokesperson for the Tennessee Department of Transportation for our region. You may recognize his voice from his many years on Channel 6. And we're talking about those highway message boards that have had the highway death toll on them throughout the end of 2012. But for 2013, there's a slight change. What's that?
Well, I mean, we still want to have that message get across.
Yeah.
But we're not going to have it up with the frequency that we did. I think that, you know, there are a lot of message boards that had the fatality count, you know, 6 out of 7 days a week, 7 days a week, depending on the week. The way we're planning on doing it for 2013 is we will keep those fatality counts up on the boards, but it will likely be 1 day a week.
And probably Friday is what I'm reading?
Yes, it looks like it'll be on Fridays.
Why?
Friday is a busy travel day. People leave work early.
Sure.
You know, people are getting home. People are traveling out of town. We also have a lot of...
that's the day that, well, obviously, when I go out of town for the weekend, guess where I go?
That's
Friday. Oh, you're right on it there,
that'll
Mark.
That'll be it. That's what I bring to the table, Frank. But, you know, also, you know, because of so many travelers, there's also a lot of out-of-state travelers. You know, we're trying to get the message across to them as well. So, you know, it's not just, you know, Tennessee residents, of course, that are using the Tennessee roadways. So, you know, we're trying to, you know, get that message across to them as well. And depending on what happens during the year, that is a flexible decision. You know, it isn't that saying, okay, it's only going to be one day a week for all 52 weeks.
Right.
Depending on what we see with the statistics, if the numbers go up at a higher percentage, perhaps, than they were a year before, we will get that message across even more. You know, perhaps we put it up more during the busier travel weekends, Memorial Day, July 4th, those type of times.
Right.
There's a lot of cars on the road.
Especially the holidays that drop within the middle of the week and you have the high travel.
And in the summertime when a lot more people are on the roads, we may get that message across more. So, and also with those message boards, we also, we'll stress those other messages of, like we kind of talked about, mm-hmm. Don't drive drowsy, don't text and drive, don't drink and drive, always wear your seatbelt. Just trying to get the information to folks as easily as we can.
For whatever reason, get to that person who forgot that day.
Yeah.
And just says, Yeah.
And I think it's done a good job. I think that it's created awareness and the, you can never, really quantify, okay, well, this is the difference. It's an impossible thing to figure out, but we have gotten comments from people, from citizens that have said, I never even think about this, but thank you for getting that message out there. So I think it's been a good thing. I think it's been a positive thing.
How do Tennessee's highways compare to our neighboring states in terms of this type of awareness campaign? Or even, you can tell there's certain neighboring states to the northwest there where you can absolutely tell when you, leave Tennessee and start hit their roads because of the condition. But also, most of my travels either up through Kentucky or through Virginia from here. What other kind of cooperation do you have with our neighboring states to get information about, to get people to be safer or just not to fall through a pothole?
Yeah, well, we've worked with our friends from the DOTs in other states, on a consistent basis. I remember last year during the landslide in Campbell County on I-75, which shut down I-75 south for a week, and then we had to shift the lane, so we only had one lane for southbound for a couple of months. We worked with our partners in Kentucky to get the message across to folks that were coming across the border to make sure it's like, hey, understand a detour is coming or you're going to have to take only one lane. So we work with them on that. And just give me a couple of specific examples. Mm-hmm. When we had a rock slide in close to the Tennessee, North Carolina border.
Oh, I remember that because all the people going to the Biltmore were inconvenienced.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're trying to make sure people can get to their destinations as easily as they
drive halfway up into Virginia,
then turn around
and come back down into North Carolina.
Yes. Yes. When there's large rocks in the road, it's hard to get around.
I know. We saw some, one of the TV camera crews was there covering the rock slide, and then more rocks slid down. Mm-hmm. We got to see actually some of that stuff on camera at one of the rock slides. I don't remember specifically.
That was a few years ago, I remember.
But it's an image that sticks with you.
It certainly is. And, these are, we're also starting to get to the time of year when you see more rock slides, with freezing and then then thawing and then the weather changes and is there wet weather and so the possibility increases with that, but
especially when you have interstates that are literally carved out of the mountains.
When they built the interstates decades ago, through here they blasted through those rocks and we're able to monitor specific areas. We have our folks out there looking at these places, seeing if there's anything that needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
But back to cooperation. We have worked with Kentucky, we work with North Carolina, we work with Virginia, and those folks from everything that I've seen, in other bordering states, they all do a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that everybody kind of does their things a little bit differently, and they do messages a little bit differently. I think that ours specifically has worked for us.
We're talking with Mark Nagy from TDOT, the Tennessee Department of Transportation. They also have a brand new smartphone app that'll help you get the information out. And I'd like for the smartphone app to automatically hand me over to Virginia when I cross the border. Can you work on that?
I don't think that's in the budget, Frank.
Oh, okay.
I don't think we can get that done.
I have to go ahead and download their app if they even have one.
Yes. I know. This app is something that has been worked on for a long time.
Now, don't app and drive, by the way, but which I'm trying to figure out how. I guess I got to get my wife to drive more, that she already drives me a lot anyway,
sure,
so that I can sit in the passenger seat and work the app?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, obviously, the great thing about having a smartphone and or having an Android, this app is available on the App Store. You can get it on Google Play.
I got it.
Yeah. Well, we downloaded it, you know, right away, obviously. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we think that it's a terrific resource. But of course, if you're driving, you know, do not use it at that specific, you know, time while you're behind the wheel going 55 miles an hour.
There's too much information there. And you got to, you know, because really you can possibly look at all of those message boards that we were talking mm-hmm. about over the interstate
yep.
on the app. You can look at the cameras that we talked about on the app.
Yep.
So this is something where you need to do before you start the car. Or while you're, or hand off to your passenger,
exactly.
have them do it.
Yeah, and it's terrific. Is that, you know, you're driving on the interstate, you're like thinking, okay, time of day, you know, for me specifically, you know, I'm leaving Strawberry Plains to go home, and that's off exit 398. I live out west, so that's exit 398 on the interstate, and we have message boards which say, okay, is there traffic backup, but. Also, by having that app, before I leave work, you know, I can just look at the app. You know, anybody, and you know, I can say, oh, okay, well, we've got the normal, you know, backups a little bit, you know, around the Alcoa Highway exit. And, well, you know what, I'm just going to take the, you know, take exit 393. I'm going to take 6, and I'm going to go 640 to get back out west. And then it goes back down to 385. So because with this app, you can just call it up on your phone, and you can click on a specific camera icon on the app, and then you just... okay, I'm going to look for, see how it is out west. And you can, you know, we have, you know, tens of cameras that are across the interstate in this area alone. So I can look at that.
Especially for a daily commute, you know where the slowdown spots
yes.
that are, you know, you normally turn up.
Exactly.
So you can know how to avoid those spots by using the cameras.
Yeah, yeah. And it's neat. And I can see, okay, well, look, there's no problem getting through downtown, but ooh, there is a problem near the mall.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, you can
see, look at me. I got my app all ready to go to.
Yep, I've got mine as well. And it's a neat thing. And also, you know, there are you can use the app to find out, okay, is there construction in this specific area? Well, we've got the even looking specifically on the app, you know, you got that exclamation point icon. Yeah, you know, so you can see that. And the message boards as well, you can see what's specifically written on an icon in a certain area. So
all right.
it's a really neat resource.
Now, let's say you are driving along, not looking at it, but can you keep it running or should you keep it running like while the car's in motion? Does it detect your specific, you know, your specific location? For example, there are consumer apps that you can leave sitting over there on the passenger seat, and it'll start telling you, hey, guess what? There's an accident up ahead.
Right. Yeah. This is specifically, you know, what you're able to do is you're able to enter in, you know, where you are. You're able to enter in, you know, okay, I want to start from this location in that app. And, you know, it's not like it is a neat thing for people to have. You know, we obviously don't, you know, want people to, you know, think that okay, this is the end all be all,
right?
You know, and certainly make your own.
So it's
going to
be a way to receive TDOT's information. It's not going to become your GPS or anything like that.
Correct.
All right. Yeah. You still would use whatever you used for that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're using Garmin or you know whatever, you can use that as well.
I use Google for that too nowadays.
Right, but you know, with that, you know, you're not able to, you know, with our app, you're not able to see what those cameras are doing. You're not able to see, if there's a specific alert in a specific area, and that's what our apps are good for.
Mark Nagy from the Tennessee Department of Transportation. So many things to talk about with the highway road signs, with the smartphone app, and then these come back up during the course of it. That's absolutely fine, but also. For those of us in East Tennessee, we've been watching the progress on the Henley Street Bridge go on for a while. And now, as your construction crews are out there, I mean, I guess the crews you hired out there, they've noticed some problems with the concrete, and there's going to be some additional things that have to be done to the Henley Street Bridge. Can you tell us what's the latest?
Yeah, well, there are three piers specifically in the water. You know, piers, you know, as far as piers that are in the water on the Tennessee River.
The big major stanchions that actually go down into the bottom of the river.
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, the those specific, the column parts, if you will, it's hard to describe on radio. You know, I'm using my hands, you know.
Well, all right, let's close our eyes and picture the bridge for a second. There's, you know, we've got those archways that we had, and then the part that the road is on the top, but the part that goes down into the water, right in the middle of the river. That's what we're talking about.
Like the column,
okay,
if you will, on each side.
Okay.
And the columns in piers 3, 4, and 5, there's been some, significant deterioration that was, that was discovered.
Of the concrete.
Of the concrete.
How old was this concrete? I mean, when was the bridge first, or when was this concrete we're talking about?
I'm trying to remember the specifics of it. I mean, this is an older bridge, you know, and this is a bridge from the 19, you know, that's been in existence, you know, I think 80 some years.
Oh, wow.
You know, so, you know, and with it, when anytime you have a major rehabilitation project, you know, there are things that will pop up. Okay. And this is an example of that. And the decision before was to patch those piers. Now the decision has been made, look, we're not going to just patch them. We are going to replace those piers.
Okay.
So
it's safer, but it's more expensive. It's going to take longer.
Well, the decision hasn't been made yet as to what, you know, is the June 30th, 2013 deadline. You know, is that still in play? You know, that decision has not been made yet.
That would be just under 6 months from now.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So now, I mean, they're still able to do some work on the bridge while they will be replacing those piers as well. But we'll know probably in the next week or so. You know, we'll be meeting with the contractor. They'll, you know, work on a schedule to replace those piers.
Yeah.
And then after that, a decision will be made as to what that does to the date.
Well, because when we had, when you guys rebuilt I-40 down through Knoxville, or meaning you weren't there yet, but when TDOT had supervised that, they put all sorts of great incentives to get the job done ahead of the deadline.
Right.
And wow, talk about a huge success story in the history of TDOT that redoing
The Smart Fix 40 project was a historic project, not only for Tennessee but, you know, nationally.
Really?
I mean, oh yeah, it got a lot of national attention. It was a bold decision to, you know, close the interstate to begin with in that in that, you know, area.
But smart.
It all worked out. I believe that the interstate in that area was closed for 14 months, if memory serves correct.
Yeah.
And people, you know, got used to it really quickly, and there were very few problems. And anyone who drives, you know, through downtown now realizes that, you know, it's worked out, and that's going to be a great spot for decades. But yes, you're right. There were incentives in place for early completion, and there was early completion on that project.
Nice. Wow. So that's something that you would do again in other parts of the state if necessary, or do
certainly
here again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Henley Bridge project, there were incentives in place for early completion, and it does not appear that they are going to be met. There are also de-incentives in place for the project being late. The contractor would be fined $4,500 per day.
But this is where you might have to cut them some slack or redo the deadline because no one anticipated the stanchions, or the piers, they're called, being as degraded as they were.
Yes. I mean, that is something that wasn't in the original contract, which is why, you know, we'll work with the contractor, and the contractor will work with us to figure out what it's going to cost to replace these piers, and then that will be added on.
Well, when TDOT is looking, we're talking with Mark Nagy from the Tennessee Department of Transportation, at these various projects, how do they decide that, okay, you know what, we have to shut down Interstate 40 through Knoxville, then we'll do that. Then, all right, you know what, we have to take apart the Henley Street Bridge and rebuild it. How do you pick those projects? In other words, I'm kind of looking for, you know, what's going to be next as well. But let's talk about the two that are past.
Okay, well, there are traffic studies done. There's, you know, cost analysis. There's, you know, a lot of factors that go into, you know, is a road built? Is a road not built? Is a bridge, you know, replaced? Is it just, you know, is it rehabilitated? You know, a lot of people talk about the proposed James White Parkway extension.
Yes.
And that is something that's gotten a lot of...
That goes right through Mayor O'Hara's house, doesn't it?
I'm not quite sure.
Something like that. No, maybe I might have misread that article.
that specific project, you know, has been discussed for, you know, many, many years.
When you're driving down the James White Parkway, which I didn't used to do until the Henley Street Bridge went away.
Right. Sure.
You realize, hey, look, it just kind of... Looks like it's supposed to keep going, but it doesn't. So you get off on Moody and or whatever it is, and get over to Chapman.
Well, that's a project where, you know, we work with regional planning organizations, you know, work with local officials, work with local citizens to discuss, okay, is a project needed? Is a project wanted? You know, what are the benefits? What are the you know, what are the problems with having something? I mean, anytime you have a road that's being built, the possibility exists that, you know, businesses or residences will need to be taken in the right-of-way process.
So you're talking about building a road from scratch that isn't there. Right now it's woods and houses like you're talking about.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it would go through, you know, there are a lot of factors in play. So what we always want to do to make a decision, we want to get as many comments from the public as possible. You know, the commissioner has stated that, we're not going to build roads, where people do not want roads.
Sure.
That's something that may have been done in TDOT in, in the past, but that's not what's going to happen anymore.
Okay.
Specifically for James White Parkway, we've had a lot of comments for people, people think that, okay, there's a public hearing heard and they're going to start breaking ground the next day. That is not the case at all.
This is a long-term.
Right. That public hearing is part of, we're in the environmental stage of that project. And if a decision is made not to build, then we won't.
Okay.
We had a public meeting a month ago and had many public comments. We've had people mailing in comments, calling in comments that, either for or against the project.
Right.
We've worked with, local officials to see if this is something that people want. And if people, if the decision is made that it's not going to work, then the project will cease to exist.
Well, how does TDOT then pick the next big repair like it did with I-40 through downtown, like it did with the Henley Bridge? You must be now thinking years down the road as to what's going to be fixed in the future.
Sure. Well, I think that, there's, unfortunately, there aren't unlimited dollars out there,
right?
TDOT is funded by the gas tax, and the tax that you, as part of your gasoline purchase.
Okay.
And that gas tax, I remember what the specific coins, amount is, but it hasn't changed for decades. Mm-hmm. And even though gas prices go up, that tax, is still only a certain amount of cents.
It's not a percentage
right.
as much. Okay.
Exactly. So, we don't have unlimited funds. We look to see, okay, is this an area where, more businesses are going in? Are people moving to this area? Have our traffic projections said that we have to build accommodate the increased traffic that will come?
Widening a road, for example.
Okay. Right. So, all those are all factors.
Because that's what it was really through downtown Knoxville, was widening and fixing some ramps and just making the whole thing a better deal.
Yeah, certainly. And I think that
was a mess in the old days.
It was. And I think that it's a testimony to the people who did such hard work on those projects that now people don't even think about it. Remember the way it was even in the early 2000s, driving on the interstates, through downtown and then out Westmore. And then you think the way it is now.
Yeah.
And I think it's, that roadway, is terrific. I think it's maybe some of the best roadway in the state.
Now, one thing that I like are the rumble strips, especially on Chapman Highway. Those went in, I don't know, it seems like within the past couple of years, right down the middle.
Yeah.
So that if somebody, I usually, the only time I ever encounter them, it seems to be like on the side of the road if I'm trying to get out of somebody's way. But the one right down the middle of Chapman Highway seems like a good idea because it gets your attention fast if you touch that double yellow line.
Yeah, certainly. And, that may seem like just a little thing, but if you're not paying attention for half a second, that can be the difference between you staying in your lane and going into the other lane.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally happens that quickly. And on Chapman Highway, there's a lot of spots that are four lane, so there's not a lot of room to negotiate there.
Right. And there's not a lot of, like you say, no turn lanes because it's only the four.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden you might be coming along and somebody stopped.
Certainly.
There's a lot of issues with Chapman Highway.
There are. And and I think that, and there have been safety measures that have been taken there, and we'll continue to look into ways to make that roadway safer.
All right. Well, great. Let's wrap up then with Mark Nagy from the Tennessee Department of Transportation, talking about all the different things that are new with TDOT. For example, the change in the highway signs, where you'll have the death count only once a week instead of every day. The Henley Street Bridge with the degraded concrete going to probably or somehow make decisions about when that's going to be ready.
Right.
And last but not least, let's get a plug in for that great smartphone app that is just so terrific. I've used it myself several times to save myself a few headaches. And how do you get it?
No, it's simple enough. It is free, won't cost you a dime, and you can get it on the Apple App Store, also the Play Store for Android. And it's a terrific resource, and I'd advise anyone that is a driver in East Tennessee to make sure they get that on their smartphone.
Now, when I got it, you had posted something online, maybe on your Twitter account, with the link to the TDOT website. So I got it that way, even though it took me to the Google Play Store.
Right.
If I'm on Google Play, what do you search for? Just TDOT?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And that's the same way on the Apple App Store. Just type in your search TDOT, and it'll take you to it. And if you have any trouble finding it, you can also go to the TDOT website, and you can go from there, which is tn.gov/TDOT. TDOT.
And speaking of social media, you guys also are obviously using Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, that's right. If you go onto Facebook, all you need to do is search for my TDOT, MyTDOT. And if you want to follow me on the Twitter, I love the Twitter. you can find my specific TDOT account is Mark Nagy TDOT, MarkNagiTDOT.
Terrific. I appreciate your time, Mark. Thanks very much for coming in. We've missed you on Channel 6 doing the sports, but it's great to see you when you turn up on the news on the other channels. They're like, ah.
Well, Frank, it's great to talk to you. Thanks for having me on.
Mark Nagy from the Tennessee Department of Transportation. This is the East Tennessee Report, a public affairs program of the Journal Broadcast Group. My name is Frank Murphy. We'll talk to you again next Sunday.